Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, Rachel Cook joins me in studio for a bit of this.
Warning, the following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Well, kids are off, so we're going to keep it fairly clean. It's more about, I know you're disappointed, Rachel.
Always.
I know you are. Oh, first we have to do something. Graham, come on in studio. You have a question for Rachel. He has a question because this morning we were talking about a mom on TikTok who put together a care hamper for her American son, who's now of legal age of consent.
Okay.
And put together a hamper of condoms and what else did she put in there, Graham?
Oh, I thought you forgot about this, Jen.
I know you did. So me and Graham were discussing and he didn't understand why the mum put wipes in there.
What's the crack with baby wipes? Why
yeah, we just have to be careful with language because there's kids off school, but she put baby wipes in the hamper for her son. What do you think? I said we'll ask the expert.
Well, it could be some people like to have a very clean bum. That could be that. It could be that she's really thinking of him and what he might be getting up to and just wants him to stay fresh and clean. Some people use them for their armpits. Some people, yep. Yeah. It could be all sorts. What do you think?
I'd just love to know what she's thinking he's doing with the baby wipes.
Why? Why? What are you worried she's thinking?
I'm not worried at all.
He's worried about using soapy bits on your bits.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Is that hygienic or... Well, surely it is that they're baby wipes.
Well,
but
depends on the wipe.
There we go.
Yeah, it depends on the wipe. I mean, some people find that certain wipes don't work for their babies and don't work for themselves, but then some of them are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on the bits.
Yeah.
So try out some different wipes and I hope that answers your question.
Thanks, guys.
Get
that was great.
Studio. Get
cheers.
Out of the studio.
Yeah.
Any relationship questions you want to ask Rachel?
Bye.
Okay, so that's that out of the way. Rachel, we got a lot of Q&As in. We got Graham's out of the way. This is more relationship-y this week. But we'll get straight to it because there's loads. Hi, Rachel, this texter says, I really fancy a girl I work with. She is on the same team as I am and we have lunch together most days and we text at weekends. Do I go there or will it impact my career? I'm sure lots of people go through this.
They do, loads of people. I mean, it's really common to fancy someone at work. And generally, I would say with this, you know, if you've said you're on the same team, I think that makes things a bit easier. But generally, I would say stay away from dating people who are either your manager or boss or people who report to you, because the hierarchy, the dynamic there is just going to generally make it problematic. It also tends to be worse for women to do this, to be dating people at work. So you have to be extra careful of that as to how it might make you look or how people will judge you for it. So that's something to consider. But I would say if it doesn't impact the office relationships and your capacity to do your work, then great. But also relationships often become complicated. So it can be very painful and difficult to stay working with someone who you now are mad into, you're bet into, and they don't want to be having anything to do with you or they're really into you and the communication is bad and it feels awkward and it's cringe and it's uncomfortable and other people can feel it. So I would say in general try to stay away from it, but then again it's
especially
how many
if you
people
love your
still
job as
yeah
well, because if you love your job it's going to be distracting and if it goes bad it's really risky.
Pretty risky. And then I would also say look, the vast majority of people tend to meet people at work. So, you know, if there's a way that you can have very good conversations, good communication about how you might manage that and try and keep work and the relationship separate, then could be great.
Okay. I just want to clarify, I did not write the next text. Hi, Rachel. I know in my heart that my mother-in-law hates me. My husband and I have been married a year and ever since the wedding, she has changed towards me. It was fine when I was just a girlfriend, but now that I'm his wife, the tone has changed. My husband thinks I'm making this up, but the passive-aggressive comments, the cold shoulder, the eye-rolling is really getting to me. What should I do?
Oh, of course it's getting to you. You know, this is a nightmare situation. A lot of people have some form of this. I would say start by talking to your husband. It sounds like if he's saying that he doesn't know what you're talking about and doesn't see it at all, maybe start by talking about explain how it makes you feel, that you understand that it's difficult for him, maybe because his kind of loyalty is potentially feeling stretched, but really try and make sure that he has your back and talk about what you would like him to do in the moments where she's maybe responding in that way. Not because it's his responsibility to answer for this person, but, you know, it's still something that's going to be getting between them. Yeah. And then I would say just go and read up about boundaries, you know, right? Being able to say something like, when someone rolls their eyes, saying something like, I get the sense that you're not happy about what I just said. Would you like to talk about it, or can we address this? You know, if you call someone out a few times and you sort of bring that up with them and they still don't want to have a conversation, then you might want to kind of decide just how to shut it down and have the minimum amount of, you know, contact, kind of exposure and contact, basically. But most people, I find, it's more about an unconscious sense that their child is being taken away from them. So being able to just sort of, you know, without having to totally plow Mauser, that you can just sort of, you know, try and open up the lines of communication, yeah, around it.
Tricky. Yeah, it's a tricky one. All down to communication. Rachel, the time has come for me to tell my parents I'm gay. I'm 19. How do I bring this up? Do I sit them down? Do I casually mention it? What is the best approach? They are mass goers, okay? Oh. Quite conservative, but they're very kind people.
Yeah, there's loads of ways to go about this. Every coming out journey is different, but you can definitely make the process a little smoother if you consider a few things, like you want to do it in your own time. This person has said that they're ready to do it, so they already feel sort of ready. But even just considering what's making them say that, is it because they feel like they just really want the people around them to know? Is it because their parents might have said something that they feel is maybe homophobic or, you know, negative around LGBTQ plus people, and so they feel sort of pressure to do it? But I would say balancing the risks and benefits. Some people choose to come out there to their parents when they're older. Some people don't choose to not come out at all for a variety of different reasons, and that is not a shameful thing if you decide that you don't want to because you feel that it's not the right time or that your parents are just unlikely to take it well. You know, or if there could be reasons. If this person's only 19, is it possible that their parents could stop supporting them financially or emotionally, in which case that's one to consider. Finding an ally when you do it, so you have people to support you during the time, yeah, before and afterwards, who you can talk to, who you trust. You're kind of organising your thoughts. You know, it's a good idea to take some time to think through what you might want to say. Writing down a few drafts might be helpful. You can also practice with a support person so that they can help you figure out, you know, the right words. That's not really about getting it perfect. It's more about feeling as comfortable as possible. And it will probably be something as simple as saying, Mum and Dad, can we talk? I have something important I'd like to tell you. Okay. But if you feel like it makes more sense to do that over an email or a phone call or a letter, that's absolutely fine too.
Okay. I've heard of some people just putting it on social media.
Yeah.
So, because they don't want to go around to every single friend and family and tell them individually that it's maybe too distressing or exhausting, let's say.
Yeah.
Is that advisable?
It can be a good idea. I'd say if it's someone particularly close to you, you might put it on social media and then tell them to go to that post and say, look, I have something I want to talk to you about. I'd love you to read this first and then we can have a discussion if you'd like to, because people can feel, obviously, it's not their thing. It's about your identity and your sexuality, but that some people can feel like they've been sort of betrayed or left out if they find out through a kind of indirect source. So it might be helpful that even if you don't feel comfortable going directly to them, or you're just tired of doing it because you've been doing it with a lot of different people, that you might put out a social media post, but then direct those closest to you to that and say, you know, I'm here to chat about it if you'd like to, if you're open to that. You may also not be open to that, and that's fine too. But take care of yourself in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the ick. I am now on day 4 with a guy. We've such a laugh together. He's great company. He's a lovely fella, but I just don't fancy him. I actually get the ick when he kisses me. Will this change? Or is it worth my while to keep going?
Oh, this one's so sad because it's so common, you know.
And is it?
For different people, the ick means different things, but it's still generally something that people don't find they can come back from. So if you, you know, depending on maybe weigh up a bit what you mean by having the ick, but generally I don't think people come back to it. So I would say definitely maybe, well, talk to the person. You could do. You could say, I'm not quite feeling it yet, but you might have a chat with them or just decide to have a couple more dates and reevaluate. But, you know, yeah, sometimes you just don't fancy someone and that's down to hormones, or it can be because they remind you of a parent or an ex. And sometimes you just can't get over that. But it's sad when you have other parts of your connection that you enjoy.
Yeah. And if that's important to you, maybe it's just time to move on. OK, well, stay with me. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with age differences and trust. Don't go anywhere. RTE 2FM.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. One for the whole family. Get up to 4 sims on one account. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Come on.
Comedy
on 2FM.
Hi, this is Dara O'Brien. In March of 2020, I was just finishing a tour and I remember saying, God, I wish I had some time off. So yeah, sorry about that. That's my fault. So I've written a new tour so none of this ever happens again. It's called So Where Were We? So come along. It'll feel like being normal again. Plus, I ate a bat, so my bad.
Dara O'Brien. So Where Were We? Live at the Marquee, June 23rd. Tickets available now. Presented by Aiken Promotions in association with the Irish Independent.
Come on, comedy on 2FM.
Here's a date for your baby diary. The Aldi Baby and Toddler event in store Thursday. Mamiya Naturals Hair and Body Wash or Lotion, $1.99 each. Cellular Baby Blanket 2-pack, $8.99. Bamboo Muslin Cloths 8-pack, $9.99. And the Tommy Tippy Grow Friend Travel Sleep Aid or Grow Clock Sleep Trainer, $24.99 each. All from the most awarded supermarket at the National Parenting Product Awards. Now that's worth shouting about. Just don't waken the baby. Aldi, every day amazing.
It was all business, but now leasing just got personal.
With Volkswagen Financial Services, lease any Volkswagen, Audi, Seat, Skoda, Volkswagen commercial vehicle or Cupra. No deposit, no long-term commitment, just one easy monthly payment. Personal leasing from Volkswagen Financial Services. It's so you. Find out more at vwfs.ie/personal. Leasing provided by Volkswagen Financial Services Ireland. Goods remain the property of the owner. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, good morning everyone. Jennifer Zamparelli here, 2FM. You are in sex and relationship therapy and Rachel Cook is here to talk about your problems. Now, you did text in, you emailed in a couple of questions and we're going to get straight back into it. Somebody emailed saying, I caught my boyfriend going through my emails. I was absolutely horrified. He said he was so sorry, but his curiosity just took hold of him. But I'm so paranoid now that he is snooping on me. What should I do?
Oh, that's a horrible situation because there's, you know, this person hasn't said any more about the context because sometimes, you know, you might let your partner use your phone and then something just pops up and they might just, you know, kind of almost involuntarily click into it. Mm. That's quite different to someone knowing your password and going into your laptop or something behind your back and going through stuff. So, you know, snooping is snooping. There's still an element of trust going to be broken there. But I would say maybe, you know, kind of talking about what level that was and what that means to you.
Discussing with your boundaries.
Yeah, and what kind of history you have there. Because a lot of us have had, you know, trust broken in different ways, whether that's being cheated on or having stuff snooped on or people, you know, backstabbing or whatever it is. So just sort of considering yourself in terms of how threatened that has made you feel and then also recognising that there's going to be a period where you just have to learn to, you know, kind of get that respect back and that there might be certain things that he can do to make you feel a bit safer. And also I'd probably say discuss a bit more because just saying that your curiosity got the better of you, like, yes, it's possible that it's that, but there's probably a bit more to it as well, that most of us have fears that our partner is, you know, going to leave us or cheat on us or whatever it is. So, you know, that you might talk about their history around trust and, you know, maybe they have been snooped on kind of digitally as well. Maybe they haven't. But it would be good to just talk more about that, to discover what was going on there and how you might move forward so that you just, yeah, don't have to live in that fear of now kind of, you know, pulling your phone or your laptop away from someone because you're afraid that they're going to be looking. And
yeah, that's not nice.
Yeah, no,
that's not nice. Somebody said, I'm 25 and my boyfriend is 40. I get so many nasty comments from friends and strangers about the age gap and I have even been called a sugar baby. It is really impacting our relationship. Are we doomed?
You're definitely not doomed. You know, you and I have talked before, Jen. We did a whole segment once on age gaps, I think. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's a very common thing and it's also worth critically looking at because there is a real history of this person hasn't shared their gender, but from what they said about the sugar baby thing, I'm guessing this is a cis woman dating a cis man. And so, you know, there's a long history of older men dating much younger women, which doesn't have to be a problem in itself, but often there are power dynamics there. And, you know, when a younger person just simply has a lot less life experience, they might be very emotionally mature or they might have been through a lot in their lives, but they're still just not going to have the level of experience, which again, some people will say, well, men tend to mature emotionally kind of slower, but it also reinforces that cycle of, you know, men dating younger people who are going to be usually have lower self-esteem, you know, have less clear boundaries and kind of knowledge of themselves. So I would say it's not inherently doomed, but you might want to, again, put in some boundaries around like what is going on in your relationship with that person. Do you feel like you have each other's backs? Does it feel like the dynamic is fairly like balanced, or is it quite lopsided? How might you mitigate that or you know, kind of address that? And then talk to your friends and family and say, look, I hear your concern, but also this is what I'm choosing to do with my life. And please pipe down and back off.
I've been with my partner for a few years now. It was so exciting and interesting and passionate in the beginning. Now there's a lot of comfort and security, but I don't think I'm in love with them anymore. How do I decide whether to break up with them, accept things as they are, or try to improve things?
Well, this is, I think every single person has been through this to some degree, and it'll come in waves in relationships. People might overall have like a multi-decade relationship or marriage and be overall incredibly happy with their partner, but there's still going to be times where you might despise them or just feel not very connected to them, like your ships in the night, you're just not spending time together, or, you know, you're just not really kind of getting each other and understanding each other, you're just not in a good rhythm or flow. So I would say, you know, sitting down, taking some time to maybe write about weighing up, not as like a checklist. I don't think it's particularly helpful to make lists of like pros and cons of your partner.
Okay.
But it can be helpful to have a sense of like in what ways needs are met in terms of what goals you want for your life, what you want for the next chapter of your life, and the parts that you don't match on, you can discuss how to maybe negotiate that. But that, you know, most of the time, I think it is worth, if you overall have a good, like, kind of framework with each other, then probably you can make it better, because in love, feelings fade no matter what. Mm. For many people, they come in and out, but often they don't happen at the same time. You have one person who feels very in love with the other and the other person isn't really feeling it at that time. Sometimes you both feel it at the same time, and often you'll find that you have this honeymoon period at the beginning where you both feel super into each other, but there's no way that that's going to be maintained at that level in a long-term relationship. So it's, I think, balancing the recognition that this happens inevitably in relationships as time goes on, and reading stuff like Esther Perel's Mating in Captivity, listening to her podcast can be really good, where she talks about this, you know, the attempt to balance what on one side we all want this kind of love and security and comfort, and then we also want mystery and excitement and novelty, and those things are sort of incompatible over a long period of time, so you have to work to create them, which is not to say that it can't be done, just that you have to put conscious work into having date nights, doing things that are a bit novel and new, you know, kind of challenging each other, and yeah, having space and time outside of your relationship so that you don't get bored with each other as well.
Good advice. My wife triggers me all the time and I end up snapping at her or giving her the silent treatment. Then I regret it. What are some ways we can manage this better? We can manage this better.
Oh, talk about the great that they said we. Sit down, make a list together of the triggers. It's not possible to avoid all those triggers, and I don't think that works that well, but you can certainly kind of work out how would you like to communicate in the moment. You know, if a person becomes so what we call dysregulated, where they're sort of like anxious or shutting down, that they feel like, let's say, they want to storm out of the room, that you might be able to decide between you that you can still leave the room if you need to momentarily, but just say to the person beforehand, I'm struggling right now, I'm a bit het up, or I'm a bit distressed or upset or whatever it is, and I just need a bit of time to myself. That's very different to storming out of a room, because usually that creates a sense of unsafety between you, and you will either lead someone to withdraw or to start to pursue or become very angry and critical and blaming. And once you're at that level, you know, basically once you become dysregulated from a nervous system point of view, your brain has gone offline. Half your prefrontal cortex is not operating, and so you can't, you're not able to think creatively or strategically. So it's better to just either take a break, change subject, you know, come back to it later on. And I would say absolutely go to therapy if you find that you're not able to.
Yeah.
You can go to therapy anyway. It's not like you have to wait and try everything yourselves beforehand. But certainly if you feel like you've tried and the communication just still isn't working, that's a great thing to go to therapy for, to be able to have someone who can mediate those situations and have you just basically learn some skills to communicate better.
Give you the tools.
Yes.
One just in, Rachel, I'm going to throw it at you.
I found
porn on my girlfriend's phone, who I live with, and we have four kids together. She never looks for sex from me, and I'm always the one who makes the mood for it. And 80% of the time she says she's not in the mood and hasn't the energy. I brought up about watching porn together, but she says she never watches this. What do you think that means, or what way should I take this?
I think, as always, that the trying to interpret stuff like this without talking to the person is useless. There's just so many possible things that this could be. This could have been that a kid, one of her kids, used her phone and looked at porn on it. The person hasn't said, was this like just a site that was up on one of their tabs that was open on their phone? Or is it that they've like saved a series of videos in like a private file? Also, has this person snooped on their partner's phone? So, you know, that's another issue here. Mm-hmm. I would say go to your girlfriend and say, look, you know, either own up if it was that you were snooping, or if it's simply that it was something that popped up and you saw it, just say, look, this has happened. I've seen this. And, you know, I'm kind of going, my mind's going every which way as to wondering what's going on here. Because in terms of our sex life, you know, I find that I'm doing most of the initiating. You're not feeling, you know, up for it, or you don't have the energy. And hopefully that will open up a much bigger conversation about, you know, is it that this person is initiating too much and the other person is withdrawing for that reason, or the way in which they're initiating. Maybe it's that the sex between them isn't very satisfying for her and she feels uncomfortable about saying that. There could be all sorts of reasons. Maybe she's not that into sex with this person. Maybe she's not that into sex in person. Maybe she's more into porn. There are just so many possible things that it could be that there's no point in trying to guess your way through this. Just talk to the person.
Great advice. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for popping in. Rachel Cook, our sex and relationship therapist. You can find her on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she will be back next week. If there's anything you would like us to talk about, we'll be back to normal. And so everything. Nothing is off the table next week because the kids will be back in school. Woo woo!
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.